Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 3:41 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is March 2nd. So I thought we'd kick off today and look at the advanced decline line for the NYSE. And I think there's a couple of important points. The first, of course, is that generally speaking, when the number of shares in any given day are rising, or the number rising exceeds those that are falling, and that trend persists over several days and weeks and months, then it's reasonable to conclude that it's easier to make money in the markets. And the more back history we look at, the more that that is borne out. So we can definitely see that, for example, in the period from the peak in 97 all the way down here to 2002, most shares were falling and it was a difficult time to make money. Then, of course, we had the peak in 2007 as well. But by and large, during secular bull markets, that index never falls below the 1,000-day moving average. And it did come right back and test it in late September, early October of this year, and we've had a good size rebound. So the first consideration is that as long as the index is trading mostly above the 200-day moving average, then we're in a benign economic environment. And if it finds support in the region of the moving average, that's generally a good buying opportunity. And that's certainly the case in 2016, certainly the case in 2011. It was also true in 2018 and then again in 2020. So then obviously there was the question whether that was going to be the case at the beginning of this year. It turned out not to be the case. And we saw resistance being encountered in the region of the moving average on several occasions in 2022. So now we're at the big decision point. Is the market going to bounce from this current level? And by that I mean the vast majority of shares. And obviously then we're going to see a different 10-year, different complexion based upon what index we're looking at. So for example, the NASDAQ 100 is just about holding on. Now it has broken the downtrend. The sequence of lower rally highs has been broken. And then we can think about the big constituents of the NASDAQ 100. So it's the big FANG man plus Tesla shares, and they've had very mixed performance. We've had a very clear big rebound over the last few months. So that definitely tells us that there was some short covering that was underway. There's definitely more value in select shares, like, for example, Meta. But now we're back and questioning the big hypothesis here. So what I thought was particularly interesting today was that Tesla was down in a fairly dynamic manner. Now it's had a really good sized rebound, but I tuned into their investor day yesterday. And the thing that really stood out to me was the use of the past tense. It was all about how we've done well in the past, the efficiencies we've already delivered upon. And of course, all of that is already in the price. There was two things that really stood out to me. The first was that they did not come out with a Steve Jobs-esque type, just one more new thing. There wasn't any new thing. But then the second was what Elon Musk had to say about nickel in batteries. Because they were talking about resources and the quantity of material that needs to be mined. And there was a little bit of obfuscation. And they were really dodging around this question of how much actually needs to be mined. And their assumptions are grossly inaccurate. Because what they were basically saying was that mining capacity will in fact decline in a zero carbon environment, because nobody will be using carbon emitting technologies anymore. Now that's a utopian ideal. They don't really talk at all about the quantity of material that needs to be mined between now and when that ideal is eventually reached, if ever. And then they're assuming that everyone in the world is going to sign on to that utopian ideal. And obviously that's really a very large stretch of the imagination. What he then went on to talk about was nickel. Now, nickel prices have been exceptionally volatile over the last couple of years. We've had some huge moves, and particularly on short covering, but now the price is starting to come back down. And I think the more back history we look at, then we can really see here that nickel prices have been really all over the place for the last 2 years, but they're not rising right now. Now, Elon Musk basically said that the only applications that nickel would be used in would be in shipping and in flight. Now, electric planes of size don't exist yet. Now, there are obviously some small planes that do exist, but when we talk about large passenger planes running on electricity, they just simply do not exist. So we're really talking about the future here. But what he basically said was that nickel wouldn't be used in any of the transportation fleet's batteries. Well, I think that's really interesting because Tesla has spent a ton of money developing their own battery, and the cathode for that battery is about 80% nickel. So not only are they having exceptional difficulty in mass producing that battery, but then this is obviously problematic. They already think that it's out of date, or that it's not going to be part of the ultimate solution for electric vehicles. So the share continues to trend downwards. Now, one of the worst performing sectors last year was cloud computing. And Salesforce came through with earnings today that were really impressive, and their forward guidance was very enthusiastic. And the most important thing here is that it has very clearly bounced from the region of the 200-day moving average. It has broken the downtrend. Now, this time last year, I was very leery of the cloud computing sector because I really thought that it was going to be a Y2K type phenomenon once more. That what we were going to see was that sales had been pulled forward from the future and that companies were not going to have the ability to continue to grow. And we saw very significant declines right across the cloud computing sector. So what we're now starting to see is some winnowing of the winners versus the losers. So because Salesforce is a big constituent of the NASDAQ and then also is in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, then that has helped to push the Dow up really quite impressively in late trading in here today as well. But the First Trust Cloud Computing ETF is attempting to put in a higher reaction low. Now, the downtrend is still pretty much intact. But if it can hold the $60 area, well, then I think it would be at least reasonable to conclude that there's a fighting chance that the worst might actually be over. Companies like Twilio that would, I think, be most accurately described as the middle part of the cloud computing sector. Well, it has rebounded. Now, I think it is most appropriate to look at it on a log scale chart to demonstrate just how low it went and how much it has rebounded. But it has almost unwound that big downdraft that we saw in October of this year. So we're just about testing the sequence of lower rally highs. It hasn't quite yet broke the downtrend, but certainly it's a lot cheaper now than it was back at the beginning of 2021. Now, it doesn't mean that every cloud computing sector or cloud computing stock is going to do well. This is definitely a time after a massive crash to look at relative performance because those are the companies that clearly have a competitive advantage, that they're doing better in an environment which has been very challenging for the wider sector. And of course, bond yields continue to march higher. And the 10-year yield has now closed back above the 4% level, and that's the highest we've seen since October. Well, I guess since November, realistically. But more importantly than that, what we have here is a consistent trend. And we have a sequence of ranges, one above another. So as long as that remains the case, then the benefit of the doubt has to be given to the upside. Now, you also have Fed officials talking about pausing sometime in the summer. So they're going to continue to raise rates until the summer. And that could quite easily take the Fed funds rate up in excess of 5% and maybe a bit higher than that. As long as the trend is consistent, then we have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. So that obviously then is continuing to push towards an inverted yield curve. And we're now still at a negative 82 basis points on that spread between the 10-year and the 2-year. So that's a clear lead indicator for a recession. Now, importantly, and I will reiterate this point, it's that the time when stock markets sell off most is usually when the yield curve spread is spiking up through the zero bound and above the 50 basis point level. That's exactly what we saw in 2007 and 8. And then we saw a similar condition in 2020, I should say. Now, obviously, that was not quite the case in 2021 when markets really had rebounded quite emphatically. So we're definitely in a more difficult environment right now because the historical precedent isn't quite as telling. Now, when we then think about how things are going in Europe, well, inflationary pressures are still marching higher. But the euro was a little softer in here today because ECB officials are saying that they do not want to risk over-tightening. And that's kind of the opposite of what the Fed funds rate is doing, or the Federal Reserve is doing with the Fed funds rate, because the Fed has pretty clearly said that they view the risk of over-tightening as being less than the risk of under-tightening. So the euro a little softer here today, but it will have to sustain a move back down through the 200-day moving average. And I think also to push back down through the lows that were put in 2015, 16, and 2020. If we see the euro declining through that level, then that is obviously going to have an impact on gold. So gold prices have steadied over the last three sessions, but we're a little softer in here today. When we think about inflation, well, a lot is going to hinge on what happens with oil. And Brent crude is locked in this very tight range. And these types of very tight range don't last indefinitely. When prices are this inert, and we can go back and just look at the longer term history, that even back in 2013 and 14, when you get these tight ranges, you get explosive moves out of them. And I suspect that is exactly what we can anticipate on this occasion. So at least for the moment, prices are rising and we can give the benefit of the doubt to the most recent dynamic. Therefore, the benefit of the doubt has to be given to the upside. And that is supporting the energy sector right now. So when we think about the S&P 500 energy index, then it's bouncing here. And it's been a pretty orderly consolidation in the region of the 2014 highs. And bouncing from the region of the 200-day moving average and holding the sequence of higher reaction lows. And this is the upper side of a really very lengthy range. And ranges are explosions waiting to happen. So in the event that oil prices start to firm through $90, then it's likely to act as a real strong catalyst for a break higher in the energy sector. Now, I've been fairly clear in my view that natural gas has come close to a bottom and has rebounded quite impressively over the course of the last week. So that is likely then to act as some support for the the wider natural gas sector. And Devon Energy and Southwestern Energy have pulled back pretty violently over the course of the last couple of months. They're only just beginning to steady. And this is exactly where they need to steady if the benefit of the doubt is to be given to the upside. When we think about the wider commodity sector, what happens in China is by far the most important characteristic that we need to monitor, because China accounts for half of all copper demand. What I thought was especially interesting was this headline today. They're warning hedonistic bankers to toe the Communist Party line. So let's just think about what that means. The days of conspicuous consumption are behind us, and they are supporting the property market. They do want to ensure that it doesn't crash. So that means they will be providing additional liquidity. Now, capital is global and mobile, and if China is opening up the floodgates in terms of liquidity, that's generally positive for global growth. But the CSI 300 has been a little shy about rallying and was in mildly negative territory in here today. Now, when we think about the broader inflationary question, a recovering Chinese economy, most particularly in view of the fact that they have really just come out of the COVID zero suite of policies, that would suggest that there will be some uptick in demand and certainly spending down of the even higher excess savings rates. And that should help to support the wider property sector. So when we think about some of those property developers, then China Longform had really declined in a very accelerated manner at the end of last year and then rebounded very emphatically. And it has also been rebounding here from the lower side of the range in here this week. And the company that is making the most headlines right now is PDD, which is Pinduoduo. And their Temu e-commerce, or I guess online shopping site Temu, is the fastest download on the Apple App Store for the last 4 weeks in a row. So they're directly seeking to compete with Apple and with way cheaper prices. So the share is now bouncing here. This looks like a first step above the base. So there's obviously the potential here that some of these companies will do better. But of course, if bankers aren't in the business of enjoying themselves and making as much money as they can, then that's not likely to be particularly beneficial for the Chinese banking sector. And that has been going pretty much nowhere for most of the last 7 years. Of course, what happens in China also has a big knock-on effect for the EU, because China is a much bigger customer for the EU than the USA is. Now, European banks have got all the way up to test the peak from 2022, taking off all of the reserves that had been set aside for an economic calamity because of the spike in natural gas prices last year, has resulted in clear outperformance of European banks relative to US banks. But we are right at the upper side of the range, and it's really quite overbought. So I think there's obviously the potential here that prices are going to ease back. And now, when we just think about what's going on in Australia, well, Australia has floating rate mortgages, and the RBA is in much the same situation as the Bank of England is, that they are forced to hawk the market rather than do anything about the market. So the ASX 200 is pulling back into the region of the 200-day moving average, and this is an area where we should potentially see support starting to come through, and not least if the resources sector starts to firm. But the weakness in the EV sector not just Tesla, but then also companies like Rivian and Lucid. It really does suggest that it is the Chinese battery sector is going to lead on the upside. Now, that should help to support some of these industrial commodities, but we could see a fair deal of volatility along the way too. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.